each one, and won't keep you as long tonight. Let us turn to 1 Corinthians. Just noticing in this Bible tonight, I can't believe I have it almost 12 years. She's going a bit, but thank God for the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Just remain seated and I'll read. It's a very well known portion of Scripture. I just want to share some thoughts which are on my heart. And let's read from verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1. And remember also, this Sunday the elders is going to be preaching morning and evening. I'll be here, but just to give me a break. And I really enjoyed our brother Gary's testimony and the word he brought Sunday night, and Sister Ruth. And not saying that to flatter our brother, but I really enjoyed it. And you know, I want to mention some things tonight. Sometimes the enemy wants us to try and be intellectual, and that's a decoy. And I thought a brother brought a simple things, but it was effective. And I believe that's what's happened around the message. People have tried to intellectualize it, and they've spoiled it. I really believe that. Instead of keeping to the simplicity, what the Lord first brought. And that's what is to bring us back to the simplicity that's in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's read from verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with the excellency of speech or of the wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. If you have a need, just raise your hand up before the Lord, and God bless you, God bless you. Our Heavenly Father, we just bow before you tonight, humbly and reverently, in the name that thou hast set far above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we plead the merits of the precious blood of the Lamb afresh over this service, over each one in this room, and all that's near and dear to us in our lives afresh. Wash me afresh in the blood of the Lamb, and I shall be whiter than the snow. Purge me, and I shall be like hyssop. Sanctify me, and I'll praise thy name. Fill us afresh with your Spirit and your anointing. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Father, you see the hands that's raised tonight. You know the hearts, Lord Jesus. And we pray you'll meet every need in Jesus Christ's name. We ask for young Simon Peter tonight. You'll touch his back and you'll heal him. Make him whole in the name of Jesus. Lord, for others that had to work tonight or couldn't be here, will you bless them, will you strengthen them, will you be with them? And we pray for those that's laid aside, Lord, that some devil's trying to waylay. We rebuke every demon power in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. And we pray you'll bless your people. Save all that's near to us, dear to us. Her sons, her daughters, husbands, wives, all that's on hearts tonight, we claim and we ask that the Holy Ghost will work on them and the blood of Jesus be applied upon them in Jesus' name. Father, I take the promised Holy Spirit to help me. I need your Spirit, Lord. And I take it by faith in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. And I know you can't fail, because you're the unchanging one. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Praise God. I believe this tonight that, you know, there's a fella sent me a clip earlier, and it was a meeting of Oral Roberts's, and it was a powerful service. And Oral Roberts says that you have to be able to attack demons. And Brother John often prays it, And you hear Brother John praying, and it's true, we need discernment. And if you don't have discernment, you can't attack demons. And Oral Roberts went on in that. It's only a short bit of a film from when he had the meetings. And he told how God gave him a gift in his hand. And the Holy Spirit would work through his hand. And he could attack the demon. Not only could he attack the demon, but he knew what type of a devil it was. And he knew a lot of them was there, and he knew many of them was there. Because there could be one devil or a lot of devils. Yes. Because you know Jesus cast a legion of devils out of the madman in the Gadarenes. A multitude of them. An army of them. So we need the Spirit of God so that we can detect demons. And as believers, when God speaks to us in a service, and when God moves upon us in a service, and as we make a clear effort within ourselves to come closer to God, the devil will send demons to stop that. Because he does not want you to get any closer to the Lord. He does not want you to feel adequate to pray, but he wants to bring things about your life and around your life that you feel inadequate, that you won't seek God the way God wants you to seek him. And that's what the devil does. There's only two forces at work in the world today. That's the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of Satan. Now we know on the authority of this Bible that the power of the Spirit of God is superior to any other power. And Jesus told his disciples, I have given you power over the power of the enemy. And in my name you'll cast out demons. Praise God. So there's the power of God and the power of the enemy. And you know, anything that's contrary to God's word is at the devil. So if someone comes with an intellectual idea or an intellectual thought, and he can classify it or read something to back it up that's not in the Bible, it still makes no difference about it. If it's contrary to this here's the absolute here. The word of God. And anything else that's contrary to it's at the devil. And even if we have dreams or visions or anything, we must line everything we're going to have up with the Word of God. The Word of God's the authority. God's Word. The absolute. William Branham lifted the Bible on the platform and he said, this is the absolute. He never ever lifted one of his sermons and said, my sermon is the absolute. He never did that. Other men today have did it. Now we know the message he brought was from God. We believe that. But he never did what people are doing today. He lifted the Bible. Yeah. The spirit of Elijah that God sent was to turn us back, our whole hearts, to the Word of God, specifically to the apostolic dispensation and to the apostolic blessing, which is absolutely the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's what it is. So we would have the Spirit of God the way the first church had the Spirit of God. Now, I'm not going to read it tonight, different quotations, but you can read it in a message called The Serpent Seed. For William Branham talks about the serpent when he sowed his seed and when Cain came forth, and he talks about what they produced. Now, you have to remember in your mind when you think of your Bible and you think of this, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be. Now we know we're living in the repeat days. Homosexuality today is boasted about. It almost, if you don't even get promoted in it, you almost are homosexual. On programs today, and everything is all corrupted with homosexuality. And we're speaking about the Antediluvian dispensation. That's before the flood. It's called Antediluvian dispensation. And back then, Brother Branham talks about it a lot, and he says that men were inventors. And you read Genesis, and you read it all in there in Genesis. Men were inventors, great knowledge, giants in the land, boasters, heady, high-minded. And you read all that in the Seamus and Timothy. But it's back in there as well. And it says, men of renown. Men of renown. Intellectual men. And we're living in a day again of intellectual men. Look here, the seed of the serpent produced Cain. Cain went to the land of Nod, produced Jesse. And then they come to the land. They were smart, educated, intellectual people, is that right? They were builders, inventors, scientists. Not through the seed of the righteous, but through the seed of the serpent. That's what they did. Now, bring that right down till our time. Nothing's changed. But listen to this, these are my own words. This is what we're battling with. Great intellectual arguments on around the message. What we know, what's called the message, I was thinking the day, if you went to a certain group, let's say for talk's sake, now I'm being honest about this tonight, let's say for talk's sake, there's a church and they want a pastor, right? Say there's a church and they want a pastor and you go and they give you a call and you're going to go, then you're going to have to ask them, what flavor are they? Come on. Because there's so many different views from the same, what they say, they're following the same message, but they've all different views about it, so there's something wrong right there to start with. Because if the word, if the spirit of Elijah that God sent turns us back to the apostolic faith, we should be preaching the same as Paul preached. There should be no difference. When we meet another brother, if he's turned the same way, he should be preaching the same. But what's happened is, intellectual men's got a hold of it. And they've tried to bring some big thing. That's the way I'm putting it. They've tried to bring across some big thing and they've forgotten God in it all. And they've listened to simplicity and they've got the big thing and people follow here and there and everywhere, but they can't say like Paul said. I don't come with enticing words of wisdom. They can't say that because they do come with them. They come with an intellectual lecture. But Paul came with the power of God. William Branham came with the power of God. Oral Roberts came with the power of God. Jenko came with the power of God. Smith Wigglesworth came with the power of God. All these men that we mention, and we don't mention them to glorify man, we mention them to glorify Jesus that was in them. But they all pointed to Christ and they came with the power of God. Amen. They didn't bring us some intellectual to make us higher in our thinking, higher in our standing amongst other men. And if you don't see it the way we see it, you're out. Well, who put you in? The Lord did. So they can't put you out. It's the Lord that puts you in. And the Bible says, when you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, in Ephesians, you are sealed unto the day of redemption. I was thinking also, people say, we're no longer the church. We are not a church no more. Well, if you're not, you're in trouble. Amen. Because a church means called out ones. And the Lord called us out. When Egypt wasn't a church, when they were in Egypt, but when God supernaturally visited them and God brought them out of Egypt, then they were the church. And God, if we are claiming God has brought us out, we're the real church. Because the real church, according to the Bible, is the mystical body of Jesus Christ that you're born into by one spirit, baptized into by one baptism. And by one spirit, there's only one spirit. So the bride is the church. The true bride is the church. How many knows that? And God called the church out in every single age. And that is actually his bride. Now there's a church form of the spirits. We know that. We're not talking about that. But people are so afraid to say we are the church. But we are a church. And they call them the church in the wilderness. Because God brought them out. And remember, they were led by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Supernatural leadership and supernatural vindication. But intellectual arguments. Look, clever men trying to make the message say things that are not right with the other fella. No, that's not the standard. We don't preach it to be like brother here or brother over here. We must preach it to be like this book.
Amen.
This is our blueprint. This is the foundation. This is the Word of God. This is why God sent a message to start with. Because all denominations here, there, and everywhere, and they've gotten away from the fundamental truths of the Bible. And God had to send someone to bring us back to the fundamental truths of the Bible. Do you believe that tonight? Amen. Now, God does not bring us back to the fundamental truths of the Bible. Then some intellectual's going to come along and take us back away from it. That's how the devil works. It's like the story, we can't get you in one. And you know the saying, he'll push you on out over the top. You know what I mean? He'll overdo it. How many knows what I'm meaning? He'll overdo it. If he can't get you one way, try to get you another way. But as sure as you try to get closer to God, you know, Satan employs demons to go to work on people. I was through a time of temptation. I couldn't understand it. I prayed about it. And at the time it happened, I was having meetings when I went to preach, tremendous meetings. I couldn't understand it. And then one day, I was reading a message of C.H. Spurgeon's, and I don't read really very many of Spurgeon's messages. Sometimes I'd read the daily reading, only sometimes. But I was reading a message, and right in it, he detailed my symptoms. Now help me, I'll tell you. Because what happens is, when the enemy comes against God's people, and the Word of God says in Revelation, he's an accuser of the brethren. Yes. And he bombards us with different things. It can be anything at all. Then he wants you to feel inadequate. And we are, but Jesus is not. Amen. And remember, he is our advocate. Jesus Christ. And he's our high priest. And he's judged by the feeling of our infirmities. And the birds can go round, but you don't let them nest. You can't stop them flying round. But you can stop them nesting. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that's when we need to turn into God more in prayer. And seek God more. Not that we give up and say, well, I had a great meeting, God spoke to me. And all of a sudden it seems to go the opposite way. That's the devil. That's almost a sure sign God did talk to you. Because the devil perhaps didn't trouble you as much beforehand. But as soon as he thinks God spoke to you and you're going to dig in, he'll give you problems. Because you have them on the run. I hope I'm making sense. Now, I wrote this in my notes. I hope this is all right. Listen to this here. This is down here. A woman can have hair to her ankles, but unless she grows it out of the right motives, the love of God, it's of no use. A man can be straight cut and everything, and look right, and come to church, everything, but in essence, out of the right motives, it's wrong. Do you understand what I'm saying? You could line people up like soldiers, and you could address them, and uniform them, and everything, and they're soldiers, but that's not how God works. It's the Spirit of God that does it. It's the Spirit of God that moves on a sister and shows her your hair's your covering. You're dressed like a woman. It's the Spirit of God that moves in a man and makes him act like a man. Now, when you see men today, and we're seeing it a lot, and they have their hair pink, and you know how it is, the rainbow and all these different things going on, you know that's another spirit. That's a demon. That is an unclean demon. That's a filthy demon. Now, you don't even need to pray about it. You know that's a demon. That is a demon power that makes a young woman strip off. It's a demon power that makes a young man be sissified. That is a demon. Now you remember the Word of God says, no effeminate shall enter the kingdom of God. No adulterer, no fornicator. Our brother said it well on Sunday. Every one of us broke them commandments somewhere along the road. Every one of us did. Every one of us was guilty. But Paul says some of us were fornicators, some of us were adulterers, but now we're in Christ Jesus. Now we believe how a woman should dress and grow. We believe that. As an assembly, we should believe that. We believe that a woman should dress like a woman, grow her hair and all them things, and the man and all the rest of it. But you can't force it on somebody. You can't make it an issue where we've heard of churches where men stand at the door and they vent them. Now that's not the Bible. Because you know, when Jesus came to the woman at the well, he didn't vent her like that. But him being the truth and the Spirit of God being upon him without measure, he struck her in the cords of her heart. He discerned her. Now that's back to what I said at the start. He had something that could discern. And we need the Spirit of discernment amongst us, I believe, even in the greater measure. Have many graces, mate. We need to be praying for the Spirit of discernment as individuals. When we're out and about, we need to be praying. Is this God or is it the enemy? We need to be praying. And prayer is the secret. Now, the closer you get to God, the closer the devil will try to get to you. Now, I know that sounds strange, but that's the truth. The way to combat the devil is to love God with all your heart. Out of this love, be obedient to his word. And I'll tell you, combat the enemy. You remember I preached a few weeks back, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And how do you resist the devil? What's the key? Submit yourself to God. So the key to resist the devil is to submit yourself to God. So when you're having a hard time, all of us will have it, we need to submit to God. Nobody else. And you need to have confidence in your own faith, in your own faith, that you're a child of God, you're born again, you're on the right track, the Lord loves you, the Lord saved you, nobody could put you in, nobody took you out, you're on your road. And you're on the right road. Because you cannot go by what's over here, because none of them's the same. There's uncertain sounds.
Yes,
there is. Let's be honest about it. Now, if one of us was a stand-in for one group over here, I mightn't suit because I mightn't be what they call deep enough or intellectual enough. Or another group, it could be something different over this side. And they could tell you, well, it's all teaching today. Well, Paul said that he preached, that Jesus as well preached and taught. We need both. We need teaching, but we need preaching. Amen. I believe that tonight. Before we do anything, we must pray about the situation that what's on our minds. We need to pray about it. We need to seek God about everything. We need to seek God in fellowship, in our homes, everything. We need to seek God. You know, the Bible says, train a child up in the way of the Lord and they won't depart from it. Well, what do you do when they get to a certain age and they don't want to do it no more? You can't put their arm up the back. I tried it. Now, I'm telling you from experience. When my boy reached a certain age, I used to beat him to come to church. And God rebuked me. I'm not honest about it. You say, well, I've had mine bring them up. No, that's all right. Go ahead. But I done it with my fella. And God spoke to me. All I was doing was turning him against me. He didn't want to come. Now, there was a time when some of us didn't want to come. But God brought us. So I had to submit it to God. And it was hard to do. Because people could say, well, his children's not serving the Lord. And all these different things and this and all the rest of it, and somebody else could be lined up and it all looks so wonderfully and perfect, and that's good. But it means nothing. Because it has to be God. Do you understand what I'm saying? It has to be God. You can't force somebody. Love is the key. Now, that young man that wouldn't come, I can talk with him now. And he has come by himself several times without any forcing. And it's God that's going to have to deal with him. Mm-hmm. But I believe he will.
Amen.
It's God that will have to do it, but I can't force it. But I can pray to God. I can trust God. I'm not saying don't take an opportunity. But while they're living under your roof and all them things, yes, that's true. You know, put the law down, as it were. We believe all that. But you can't force somebody. It's like a sister growing her hair. You can't sit somebody down and force them. You know what I mean? It has to be a revelation. It has to be God. Now you can join an organization where they have rules and you can follow all them rules, but God might not be behind it. But when it's genuinely the Spirit of God, God will do it. I knew of a sister, and you know her, I won't mention no names, but she said to me, I can't see it. Why I can't wear trousers? And I said, well, the Bible says, and I didn't argue or anything like that. And I told her about it, and she couldn't see it. And you know the COD, it's called COD, for William Branham Answers All the Questions. I gave her a copy of that. And she rang me up 2 weeks later, and she says, I see it. God spoke to her. And that woman never wore trousers again. But it was God. Now, I couldn't have made her do it, but you understand what I'm saying. If it was man, it would have lasted a few weeks. When it's God, it'll last. If it's man, it will not last. It's like people that make professions. Now, I'm not being funny about it, but I know myself, as evangelistic, going out preaching, I can get decisions. Now, you ask any of the brothers to have went, I can get lots of decisions. I can get people that, and now, I'm not saying they're not saved, but they might not all go on. But if there's one genuine out of it, isn't it worth it?
Amen.
But it's God that ultimately has to do it. Amen. You have to trust God on it. We must pray about it. Do not leave it until all the trouble, but plead for God. Plead for God to get you out of that situation. Pray for God to cover you in His blood. Pray for God to move on you. And God will do it. You can't do it yourself. You can't wrestle with it. There's so many things tonight. I believe this is for somebody tonight. I really believe it. I really believe somebody's struggling. You go through a hard time. And you can be tempted to go in the flesh. I'm telling you. You can't. It's like, you know, if you were somewhere and somebody was twisting with you and almost looking to fight. Well, that's the wrong way to go. You can't do that. You have to submit to God. Once you step into the flesh, then you've done the opposite of what the Bible says. Because the Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and power. The secret is the secret place, praying. Seeking God. Pray in secret, and the Lord will reward you openly. And I'm telling you, sometimes you think it's getting worse, and that's just the enemy that wants you to believe that, but you need to seek God. And keep seeking the Lord, and see how close you can get to the Lord. Lord, what is your will for the situation? That's what you need to pray. And then, when you read this, you'll find as well. Amen. It's God's will, it's in His Word. But God can speak to you. God can speak to you through a prophecy, through tongue interpretation, through a vision, through a dream. So many ways God can speak to you. You know, I was praying just a few days ago. Do you remember either Sunday past or Sunday before when I mentioned what the Lord spoke to me in the bedroom? That scripture, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Now, God really spoke to me that scripture. And I'd never read that scripture at that point. Now, He didn't read me out the verse. It came to me, Isaiah 1, verse 18, 19, like a voice spoke it. Isaiah 1, verse 18, 19, and kept repeating until I got out of bed and read it. And I was praying on wanting God to talk to me just a couple of days ago. And I have a wee player, it's in the van up on the shelf, and I pulled it down, switched it on. Went through a couple of sermons, hit one on what was the scripture William Branham was reading. That scripture. That very scripture. And you know what his message was? conference with God. And I tell you, he got into that. And he preached him at a conference with God. And he talked about where you can force a conference. Now that was interesting. I want you to listen to this for a moment. You can force a conference with God. When you seek God enough, God's obligated to do something. And he talked about Moses, and he said Moses tried to do it himself, and he killed the man, buried him, and he was 40 years then away and married and herding sheep. But then he says Moses had a conference with God. God met Moses. And in spite of Moses' failures, and in spite of what Moses done, God still used him. But Moses had a conference with God. And it's come now and let us reason together, and he said that's a conference with God. Now I never knew that. I'd never heard that. You say preaching for years, but I've never heard that like that from that scripture. It's God calling for a conference. And God wants us, and I'm closing. God wants us tonight to come into a conference with him. He wants us to pray, he wants us to seek him. And to come into a conference with God. And you know, Jonah got into a conference with God. And even people call him backslidden and everything. But he cried out of the whale's belly. He had a conference with God from the whale's belly. You can have a conference with God anywhere. That's the thing about God. And the demons will have to go back. But I believe we need to pray for discernment. The enemy is going about like a roaring lion. The Bible says, seeking whom he may devour. And I believe God has spoke to people, but the devil, when he does that, he wants to knock your confidence. He wants to put you down. So that you don't have the confidence to pray the way God wants you to pray. But I want to, I'm not saying give you a challenge, this is for myself, it's for every one of us. Let's seek God in spite of it. Let's determine within our own hearts, every one of us tonight, that no matter what's happened, no matter what it looks like, we're going to seek God. And our absolute's the Bible.
Amen.
It's not some man's idea, it's the Word of God. And I believe God wants us to come back to the simplicity of the Word of God. And I believe God will bless us. Now, I believe we are out of the simplicity. But I believe God wants that. And I want you to pray tonight like you have never prayed before. Don't be afraid to pray. And if you've come in that service tonight and you feel down and you feel the enemy's attacked you, hit them back. Pray. And if you don't know what to pray, just thank God for saving you. That's enough to praise him for. And the rest will come to you. I believe the rest will come to you. Let's come and seek the Lord tonight.